Cabin Fever, Part 1, Written in Stone. By Anne-Marie Kjellberg. Narrated by Lily Ward. Summer, 1968. Sally put on her new white Vanity Fair panties and the equally new turquoise nylon nightgown. The nightgown was light as a spider's web, and it draped flatteringly over her small breasts and narrow hips. The short, flattering sleeves camouflaged her strong shoulders a bit. She looked in the mirror. She was shaped like a ballerina, and there was no denying it. Then a few drops of Elizabeth Arden's blue grass on strategic places. Otis had given her the perfume after her last show in May. Otis had already gone to bed. He was reading The Story of a Soul by the Catholic nun, Thérèse de Lisieux. Sally crawled into bed with him with a sigh. They had arrived at the cabin that night, and she was looking forward to the holiday, which promised the start of an entirely new chapter of their life. Otis looked at her and smiled. Then he turned back to his book and continued reading. She let her hand wander under his blanket, found an opening between the buttons of his pajama top, and let her hand wander over his smooth chest. Otis put the book on the night table, took off his glasses, and turned off the bedside lamp. "I'm so tired," he kissed her forehead.
"Good night, hon."
He rolled over to his side so that she could see the silhouette of his back against the bright light behind the white curtain. The next morning, the air was fresh and smelled like wet sand. Large transparent fish lay eggs on the beach, surrounded by long V-shaped tracks from the tide. Otis had still been asleep when she left the cabin. In the distance, Sally could see a few perky walkers getting slowly closer. But then, other than them, the beach was empty. She took a deep breath, and her feet and her entire body suddenly felt like dancing. Oh, the first lessons at the bar. Joy spread through her entire body. First position, second, third, and then plié, charmé, grand balmaise. It had been a long time, but even now she could feel the life in every fiber of her body, exactly as she did when she was 6 years old. She could not help getting in the fourth position. It was just for a short while, and without the arms of On, which made her lose her balance and made her chuckle quietly with laughter. When she looked down again, she saw it. One more for her collection. A small, water-polished flint with a chalk embedment. The embedment was shaped like a J. There was someone on the dune, by the sea room, she realized. It looked like Dr. Black, her doctor, who also happened to be one of their holiday neighbors. She recognized his tall figure and the big, thick hair that neither comb nor grease could get under control. Sally raised her hand to wave at him, but he did not see her. He was gazing over the green-blue sea.
"Look what I found," she said, back in the cabin, where Otis was reading the paper in his blue-striped pajamas.
"Hmm," he said, and sent her a quick look. "It's nice. Isn't your collection getting quite big?"
"I don't know. I have many letters, fewer with numbers. I think the number ones are rarer. Or maybe I'm just not good at spotting them."
"Hmm, I made tea."
He pointed to the orange tea cozy. She had succeeded in smuggling it into the cabin. The teapot, on the other hand, had been in the house since Otis's grandparents' time, and so had the white porcelain with the bright blue flowers.
"Thank you, Otis," she said, and went over to him and bent down to kiss him on his cheek.
He turned his head away just a few millimeters, but she had felt his maneuver. She grabbed the slices of bread and found cheese and milk in the tiny fridge. At the lunch table, she grabbed the paper and pretended to read it. Then she put it down.
"Otis, what's wrong?"
He looked up. His face was tight.
"Nothing,"
he answered. "Why do you always think something's wrong?"